In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We come to the final celebration of this week of fun and prayer, renewing the consecration of the family to God. We're told here that there are seven keys for this consecration, or for the God-centered family living. Just read those, and then the prayer life, our own personal relationship with God. You know, it's very easy to pray without praying. It means we know the prayers by heart, so we can recite them, but we're somewhere else. It's happened to me, and even in Eucharistic adoration, I'd be in there pondering some theological question, so it's all cerebral. And then when it's over, I get up and make the double genuflection and say, oh, Jesus, you're here. So the prayer life, it's not prayer life until it becomes personal contact with Jesus. We need a God experience. And if we go through the salvation history, we find the great people of salvation who represent mankind, who are the intercessors of mankind, the patriarchs of sanctity, are those who have had those great experiences. Right now, we're in the week of readings of Moses. He meets God. Who are you, God? I am who am. This is the first revelation of God's total transcendence, and he comes down to us. He wants to enter into communion with us. Will we respond? And our first response must be one of faith. That's one of these points. The third point, learning the faith, to deepen ourselves in our understanding of the mystery of the church. Religious research or Christian research has demonstrated in the last 20 years that Catholics are those who are most ignorant of their faith. We don't know what we believe. The sacramental life, that's the readings for today. We'll come to that. Living the virtues, putting into practice what we speak. Similar situation there on the Christian scene. Catholics, they almost have, it's a strange phenomena. Normally, Christians are, serious Christians are very intense about their virtuous life. And Catholics can be a little laid back because there's always confession. And there is, but it can be misused. And that's a key point in this idea of consecration. Consecration is giving a total response to God. So when we consecrate a chalice for the holy sacrifice of the Mass, it would be a sacrilege to take that chalice and use it at a banquet, because that's not what it's for anymore. When in the book of Daniel, the king of Assyria, Babylon, he got drunk and he bring in all the chalices from the temple of Jerusalem. We want to drink out of them. That was the end for him. That very night was the end of his reign. So when we make a consecration of ourselves to God, that's audacious. And it would be insupportable except for the fact that God calls us to do that, because he calls us to be his living temple, so that all we do, and this is the message to the children of Fatima, make of everything you do a sacrifice and offer it to God. Well, how can you make a sacrifice and offer it to God unless you believe that this God is present, that he desires this? And the angel tells him, the hearts of Jesus and Mary are attentive to your prayers. They learn to pray. Then the angel says, now sacrifice. Make of everything you can a sacrifice and offer it to God. So our daily life, our daily duties. But above all, accept whatever sufferings God may send you. The hearts of Jesus and Mary have plans of mercy towards you. We're so few in the shouting, screaming world out there. But how many good people did Abraham have to, the angels have to find in Sodom and Gomorrah to spare them? 10. 10 people would have been sufficient to save Sodom and Gomorrah. Do not underestimate the power of prayer, the power of union with God, of living our vocation. Prayer life, sacramental life, learning the faith, living the virtues, serving one another. St. Paul is the one who communicates to us the words of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That's a wonderful truth. It's an anomaly. St. Francis de Sales in tradition says, all human love begins with complacence. That's finding someone, we'll leave it at the level of persons, someone who is good and good for me. All created love begins with our own need and our longing for happiness, and we find someone else who's good and good for me. There is the beginning of all love. And then he takes another step forward. How do you pass from this self-motivated love, which is a beginning of true love, and come to genuine personal love, which is concern for the beloved? St. Francis says we need to persevere in that esteem we have for the other, in their goodness and their good for me, and they're mine, and I want to be good for them. A certain perseverance in that relationship of love so that we can begin to delight to make this gift of ourselves to one another. And wherever you have that great friendship, and the most perfect friendship is marriage, according to St. Thomas and all the saints, those individuals, and they want to consecrate themselves to one another in this perpetual bond of giving and receiving and communion. And the mystery of it is God created marriage because he wanted to reveal to mankind through marriage the union and intimacy he desires to have with each one of us. But we live in the midst of a generation of hollow individuals who practically have no heart, no deep experience of love or a knowledge of how to love. Their limits are sensual and gratification. And so here's this great vocation of the Christian people, the Catholic people, who were aware that not only does Jesus want to dwell in us spiritually, but he wants to dwell in us physically through this Eucharist. And when we are motivated and live that type of love, then we can begin again and again and again serving, even though we recognize mutually our foibles. And sharing the faith. On the political scene, where Marxism, socialism is the dominant theme in all of the press and most people, have you noticed that if you don't share their opinion, they shout you down and scream you down? If you would follow history, you would see that those are the preparations for revolution leading to totalitarian government. There is no reverence for the other person, no awareness that we're called to a deeper unity and to a higher unity. And so it's very important. You can't be closet Catholics. And that's, we'd see that we're kind of driven from the street. You can pray on church on Sunday, but the rest of the week you have to be citizens and support abortion and all of these other isms of the modern world. Say, wait a minute, no, this we can't be incongruous. And as a matter of fact, the truth we bear is the only one that has ever really produced great culture, great society, and benefits for mankind. And we're losing it. And we need to have that joyful awareness. God has given me that treasure, a treasure that I can share. And the seventh point was, and how do we achieve this, generate this grace and this power? Doing our daily duties with the spirit of the love of Christ. Here he is, the Son of God. He empties himself. He comes down and he serves. The Blessed Mother serves. St. Joseph serves. Service, humble, loving service, is the measure of the Christian. Now, our reading today, Moses and Aaron, they're performing these good works, and the Lord made Pharaoh obstinate. We have that difficulty in Our Father also, which the Holy Father is working on. Lead us not into temptation. And this is Eastern, Near Eastern idiom. God offers a grace. If we fail to respond to that grace, he's not going to force us. So he leaves us in our obstinacy. And the next grace is more challenging, and we're less capable of responding to that, so that our refusal to respond increases. And this is Pharaoh. And we jump over here, the ten plagues, and the first impression is that God's trying to make a point to the Egyptians. But then when we come back, and now they're getting ready to slaughter the Paschal lamb, you say, God did this for Israel. And later Moses tells him and warns him, you saw all the signs that God worked for you in the land of Egypt. Will you be faithful to God? And so those 10 signs were signs that God is calling us out of the philosophy and mentality of the world. And that is a huge challenge. It actually took God 40 years to prepare a people that were capable of entering the Holy Land. So this is going to be the night of the 10th plague. And it's very graphic, and it's the backdrop for the sacrifice of the Mass, because the Paschal Lamb, of course, is Christ. So here we have, you have to figure this out. There's 600,000 Israelites, at least, say 10 to a family. That's 60,000 lambs that are being slaughtered. It's on the evening of the 14th, the first month of Israel, is the first month with a full moon after the equinox. Spring equinox, so it's April, March, April. Varies from year to year in the Jewish calendar. And it begins with the new moon, so they're slaughtering all these lambs on the full moon. We still observe that. Easter is the first Sunday after the full moon in the spring equinox. And the streets are literally flowing with this blood, and it's impressing them, this lamb is your salvation. Because we're going to put his blood on the lintel of your doors. And then the angel is going to go through Egypt, and the 60,000 lambs were nothing. Say Israel was 10% of the population, 600,000, 6 million. And now again, the family and the firstborn, 600,000 die for the purpose of impressing the need to step out of the wisdom of the world, which is a wisdom of sin, rejection of God, exaltation of self, avarice, and all of that. The difficulty for us is that our human nature, our body, our fallen nature, its natural objects are all the goods of this world, which we enjoy, which we naturally tend to want and in some degree even need. Although Jesus makes it clear, seek first the kingdom of God and all of these things will be given to you. Seeing the blood, I will pass over you. Thus, when I strike the land of Egypt, no destructive blow will come to you. This day shall be a memorial feast for you, which all your generations shall celebrate with pilgrimage to the Lord as a perpetual institution. Now, that's what we're celebrating now. And in this celebration where Christ seals, consecrates himself to the Father out of his friendship for us, so he consecrates himself to us, and he consecrates us, with him. And therefore, we individually and as families, we're going to consecrate ourselves to God. So what's the challenge? The challenge is living this. There was an alcoholic. He came to me. He says, Father, I've tried this abstinence. It doesn't work. I said, what do you mean? Why doesn't it work? He says, well, I've been abstaining once a week for months now, and I just still can't get over it. Love, friendship, a consecration is a commitment to forever. In our own spirituality, where we strive to walk in the presence of God, we were told, you'll never learn to do that unless you're willing to start over 100 times a day. To live our consecration, we need to be starting over every day, confronting our weakness and recognizing with St. Paul, precisely in our weakness, we are open and disposed for the grace of God to lift us up. And so our goodwill and our effort is paramount in the eyes of God, not so much our success. When St. Teresa contemplates climbing the stairs up to God, she says, I know I'm not even able to reach my foot up and get to the first step. But she's not going to give up because she knows with that goodwill, the time will come when Jesus will come down and carry her up. To her novice, Sister Mary of the Trinity, was struggling, and St. Therese told her, he says, you know, Mary, you think that you may have done something if you managed to get up to the second step. Do you really think it'll be easier for Jesus to come down and pick you up at the second step than come all the way down? He says, I'm afraid you'll be so proud of yourself that it'll be much more of an obstacle. So when we make this consecration, we're not making it on the power of our own capacity, but this is also trusting that God wants to accept our disposition, our goodwill as a chalice to pour himself into it and share with us his fidelity to the Father. Redemption is Christ restoring us in himself to the original covenant of faithful love to the Father. Now, among all these things that we're proposing in these seven, I would just like to, and this will be my final point, one point, they recommend the daily rosary. I will recommend one thing additional. Spiritual reading. Every day, 5 or 10 minutes of spiritual reading. Padre Pio says it like this. It's very insightful. He says, every good, spiritual good you hope to gain from personal prayer and from meditation, you will receive in a higher way, in a simpler fashion, from spiritual reading. When we open ourselves to spiritual reading, the Holy Spirit touches us, and he will pray within us with unutterable, inexpressible groanings. But we will experience the longing, the desire. And we don't know what we'll ask for. As we read, we'll be touched in this way. So sacred scripture is a great way. One of the books that I would recommend, especially for families, would be Lucy Speaks on Fatima. Read that book. We read it first when we did Restored the Order in 1978 in Portugal. We were in northern Portugal. We were living up on a hilltop in Sumero, Braga. And we read the memoirs of Lucy for the first time at meals, because we always had a reading at the beginning. And I just had to look down and let my tears fall into the soup. I didn't want anybody to know I was crying over listening to this book. Spiritual reading opens us up to the activity of God. If we do it that, we have our nourishment. There was this German farmer, Mistien. He was comparing his horse to a tractor, and he says, the tractor, when you're not using it, it doesn't burn any diesel or benzene or gasoline. He says, I'm going to teach my horse not to eat. Then it'd be a great economy for the farm. And after a while, somebody told him, he said, well, how did that succeed? He says, well, I just had to do it gradually to work him down to eating less and less. And actually, it was a success. The problem is the horse died. We're not nourishing ourselves by going to church on Sunday. Most of us cannot nourish ourselves simply by reciting the rosary because it's too much rote. We need to open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and the common manner is spiritual reading as a family or individually. Let the Holy Spirit touch us so again we reach out and touch the face of our Lord. We enter into personal intimacy and contact. So that's my well wishes for you as you renew your consecration, that consecration draw you into that intimate contact with our Lord, and that you know how to respond by coming close to him in his mysteries through the contemplation of the Word of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.